Somebody get these lights out of my eyes. Oh, thank you. Good day. So right after the service, we're planning on having a family picnic or church picnic. I don't know if it's looking any better out there yet. Hopefully it is. So we'll just have some fun together. I guess if it's raining or if it's bad weather, we'll just put it off for a week and gather on from there. Just a reminder about a couple things. See out in the hallway there, there's the box for the backpack for We Love Dunville Day. We're just going to bless the poor in our town, in this area, with some good things. So remember, if you can, as a family, go out and buy a backpack or two. Buy something good. Don't buy something cheap. Buy something decent so that people have something to last in a couple years and do well for them. Also, we have some bins out there for Free Store. We'll be able to bless them with some shoes and some clothing, some food, stuff like that. So if you can, while you're out shopping, I know we're talking a lot about giving this year and asking people to give more than we usually do. But just really want to make an impact in this region for God. We want to touch people's lives. So if you could all keep that in mind, that'd be awesome. Remember that date? We Love Dunville's the 28th. On the 22nd is a Sunday night. We're going to get together with a bunch of the other churches, and we're going to go around town and hand out invitations, some cookies to people just to let them know exactly what's going on. So if you could keep that night clear too, that would be great. So it's good to be with all of you this morning. Good to be in God's house. It's good to be together. It's been a few weeks since I got to preach, so I probably will take 2 or 3 hours today. I just really enjoyed it. I've listened through Rick and Kathy's message again, that we create an atmosphere. We create the atmosphere. We come in. We are the church. The church isn't a building. We are the church. If you think there's something great happening in the church, look at yourself. Because you are the church, and something great is happening through you. If you think something's wrong with the church, look at yourself. Because there's something wrong with you. But we are the church, and we get to create an atmosphere. We get to come here with a heart to serve and love and care for and be excited about God. John's message, I thought, was just a great message. From the heart, really pure, really just amazing about, you know, his life and what he's been through and how God's word, you know, became flesh and dwelled among us and how he just wants to work in our hearts and lives and wants to be part of us. He wants us to speak his word so that we can create great things in our lives. We get to speak forth God's word, which is powerful, which is life-giving, which is freedom. And last week, Pastor Newhoff, he got to preach and we all got to enjoy that. Kind of cool. I guess not too often you get to watch your mother get married. But we got to do that. And welcome again, Nick, to our family. We love you. We're glad you're with us. And also our church family. It's great to have you as part. So today we're going to continue with our series about Colossians. And I was thinking that so many times as Christians, we made the Christian life so complex. We made it so difficult, so challenging, so tricky. But Christian life should not be complicated. Christian life should not be complicated. But I realize that in many ways, I myself make it complicated. I try and create these hoops I need to jump through. I try and create these things that I need to do to make it all work. Here's what I know. Most people struggle in their walk with God. Whether with feelings of insecurity and unworthiness, and just to get it off the record or on the record, you are unworthy, I am unworthy, we are unworthy. We are unworthy, but Jesus didn't count that against us. Or because we feel disconnected or separated from God for who knows what reason. Do you ever wake up in the morning and go and do your prayer time or just doing your prayer time and you just feel like you're distant from God, and you don't know why, and if you can figure it out, you probably fix it, but you just can't quite figure it out. But a lot of times, it's because we have made life so complex. We have been called into a relationship with God by God. God has called us into this relationship. He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to be with Him. He is the one who is calling the relationship out. It's not like you're in a room and there's someone you really want to meet and you're just clawing and grabbing and scratching, trying to get near that person so you can meet them. God walked across the room to meet you. God walked across the room to connect with you. God wants a relationship with you. He's called us knowing that we aren't worthy of His love or His attention. He knows that. You don't have to keep telling yourself that. You don't have to keep making excuses for that. God knows that. But He didn't make that a qualifier for a relationship with Him. Your worthiness was not a qualifier for a relationship with Him. You could scratch and beg and plead, and you could, you know, climb up stairs on your knees 1,500 times, said 3,000 Hail Marys, whatever it is you think you should do, whether you should, you know, always volunteer, you should always be at the food bank, you should always do this and that and the other thing to qualify, you're not going to qualify any better. I didn't do that, I promise. Is that me? It is me. Let me see if I can fix this. All right. Anyway, we can't qualify. Let me grab a different mic. We can't qualify, and God never expected us to qualify by that means, by our worthiness. He didn't think we could ever be good enough. He didn't try to make us good enough. We just came to Him as we were. This is what the Bible says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to Me. Get away with Me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with Me and work with Me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with Me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The qualifier for a relationship with God is, are you tired of living life your way? Are you tired of trying to earn your way into a relationship with God? And are you ready now to do it His way, God's way? If you're tired of doing it your way, if you're tired of trying to earn your way, if you're tired of trying to make it by your own good things, if you're worn out with that, if you're just tired of jumping through hoops and you're ready to do it God's way, you qualify. You qualify for a relationship with Him. God offered it to us. He offered us a life lived with Him and in Him. I heard someone say once that the good is really living life God's will, God's way. Living God's will, God's way. That's good. Evil is living your way, your will, your way. So if you want to live, if you're tired of doing that, if you're tired of that, you qualify for a relationship with God. But you got to live life His way. So God offered a relationship like that to us. Then why do we keep going back to the old way? Why do we, if God offered us a relationship that didn't hinge on our qualification of being good enough, why do we keep trying to go back and be good enough? Why do we keep trying to go back and earn our salvation? This is what the Bible says. In John 8:36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be absolutely free. If the Son, who is Jesus, sets you free, then you are absolutely free. Are you absolutely free? You feel free? Because you can't be free. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul was talking about to the church at Colossae. That God had set them free. That God had offered them this free and abundant life, and they had accepted it. But there was people now that were coming around and trying to teach them that they had to go back to the old way of doing things, that they had to go back to earning
their way into God's favor, that they had to go through all these hoops and jump over all these things so that they could be good enough for God. He was reminding them that they were free. There's a freedom and a peace that's only found in Christ. There's only one way to find it. I remember when I was a young person and I actually experienced the freedom that God gave. I completely surrendered my life to God and God started to work in me and change me. And I felt His peace and I felt His freedom. And He wants that for each one of us. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be at peace. But there's so many times that I've walked away and started trying to do all the religious things again to earn it. And I felt so much agony and turmoil over that. In order to live in peace and at peace, we have to stay in Him and rely totally on Him. We've got to stay into Him. We've got to stay into His Word. Practical way to stay in God is to continually read the Bible. God's Word, to continually take time to talk to and listen to God through His Word and while we're reading His Word. Because He wants to speak to us. All the answers you need are found in His Word, which is really a representation of Jesus to us. That's what it is. God's Word is a representation of Jesus to us. This is what the Bible says in John 1, verse 1 to 5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through Him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without Him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. So God gave us His Word, first of all, His Son, and His written Word, so that we could know Him. The Word has been there since the beginning. The Word created everything. The Word is the source of life. It's brought light to you and to me. And it's bringing it to you and to me each time we open it and read it. The only way we can know God is to read His Word. We can get all kind of funky and get all kind of like, you know, meditative and leave His Word behind and think we know God. But we have a warning in Proverbs that says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. The only way we can really know God is through His Word. It's the only way. It's the only way we can know Him. And His Word brings life to us each and every time. Here's an example. Over the past several years, really just have had some relationships that were long-term relationships that just broke down. People that I had counted on as friends, people that I had had relied on, they bailed on me. I'm like a ferocious friend. I'm like loyal. I'm like your dog. You know what I mean? Like you could slap me in the side of the head and I'll come back. You know, because I love people. I love my friends. I'm committed to people. And I was getting like people that I had been in relationship with for so long just bailing on me, just leaving me in a bad place in a bad time. And I was getting kind of really feeling bitter about it. I was starting to feel like I didn't know who I could trust. And if you're a pastor, you better learn to trust some people and you better learn to love people and keep loving people. So I was talking to God about it and really feeling a lot of pressure and a lot of stress over this area because I really was feeling like I just didn't know if I could trust people. And this is I was reading a couple of weeks ago doing my devotions. Right now I'm reading through 1 and 2 Timothy, through Titus, and through James, the pastoral epistles. I'm just cycling through them. And every day I read Proverbs because I just want wisdom from God. So I'm reading, sitting at the breakfast table with my son Logan, and I'm reading. He's kind of talking to me, and I'm reading my Bible, and I'm doing my devotions. And we're kind of just, it's really kind of a loose setup I had going that morning. And I got reading in Proverbs 21:21. And this is what it said. Whoever tries to live right and be loyal finds life, success, and honor. I was really stressed about this point. Up to this point, I read this verse and God set me free because I realized that I didn't really, my life didn't depend on what everybody else did. My life didn't depend if other people were loyal or honorable to me. My life depended on whether I was loyal. Because if I was honorable and tried to live right, life right, and I was loyal, that God would give me success, life, and honor. And it was amazing. I was struggling one minute and set free the next. God revealed it to me through his word. He spoke to me that morning, set me free. And then I was reading a little bit further on in the chapter, just a little bonus verse, and I come across verse 31 where it says, you can get the horse ready for battle, but it's the Lord who gives the victory. Again, an amazing, amazing verse, because whether it's in our life, our marriages, our jobs, whether it's in our relationship with our kids, whether it's in whatever we're doing, we need to realize that we can only do what we can do. But we need to do what we can do. We need to put in our natural, and then God comes along and puts in the supernatural and gives us victory. So I realized at that moment that I just had to do what I could do, and God was going to look after the rest, that God would bring victory. I figured this all out. God revealed this all to me while I was sitting for about 15 minutes at the table with my son Logan, eating Raisin Bran and listening to him talk while I was reading the Bible. It's not rocket science. God wants to reveal himself to you. God wants to connect with you. God wants you to know him. And God wants you to know that he cares about you. But there's these million voices going on in the back of your head going, ah, you're not worthy. You're right, I'm not. I'm not worthy. It's not a qualifier. It's not who I have to be. Jesus makes me worthy. Jesus connects me to the Father. God came across the room to meet me. That's who did it. He did the work. And so many times we're so busy trying to do the work. And this is really what the book of Colossians is about. It's about Paul saying, you know what, guys, you had it right. You had it figured out. Just stay close to Jesus. Stay close to him. Read. But they didn't have the New Testament. Then they had the Old Testament. Stay close to what you know about God. Keep doing it the way you know to do it. It's okay. It's not going to hurt. It's going to be all right. You can live that way. So that's what Colossians is about. We're going to carry on now. We finished on Colossians 2, verse 5. Let's go on to 6 and 7 now. So it says, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus the Master. Now live him. Now live him. You're deeply rooted in him. You're well constructed upon him. You know your way around the faith. Now, do what you've been taught. School's out. Quit studying the subject and start living it. And let your living spill over into thanksgiving. I love the Message Bible. I read it a lot in church because I think it just says it so clearly. You know what? School's out. Stop just studying about it. Stop just thinking about it and just do it. These verses speak for themselves. I think that Christians, and I include myself when I say this, at times are weird. We're weird because, you know, God's word lays it out for us. And when he says, Paul's addressing that weirdness here, and he says, you know what, okay, here's the thing. Stop just thinking about the theory and get involved in the practical aspect of it. Stop just thinking about the theory of being a Christian, and let's get doing the practical. How many of you here, you can raise your hands if you want, you don't have to raise your hand if you don't want. How many of you here would think that reading the Bible and praying every day is a good practical thing to following Jesus? Most people would agree. How many people actually do that every day? Some people. I'm guessing less people than what know it's a good idea. How many of you know that you can't earn your salvation through good works? How many of you still try and earn your salvation through good works? It's we know what to do. This is where Paul coined that phrase that Nike used as its advertising slogan a decade ago. Just do it. Stop talking about it and just do it. Just do it. Because we talk about what we should do. We pray about what we should do. We tell others what we should do. We have Bible studies and small groups and go to conferences on what we should do. But the problem is, we just don't do it. We don't do it. And we need to stay focused on the simple. Just stay in relationship with Jesus. There's like so many people get so wrapped up in all kinds of just like fringe doctrine. So many little funny little doctrines that probably are all right, but just are just like not that important. You know, like every part of the Word of God is equally inspired, but some parts are more important for us to live every day. Some parts are more important for us to know every day of our life. You know? So we, though, sometimes get so focused on all these little things that don't matter. Like, it's important for us to know that Jesus is coming back one day. And that one day he's going to split the sky and he's going to call us all to be with him. And the Bible says that he's coming for a bride that's looking for his return. So we should be looking. But like, if your whole life, every minute of your life, every minute of the day is studying Daniel and Revelations and whatever else, and that's all you think about every day, every minute of your life, every second, that's a problem. We need to get on and just do the practical things of life. Love God, love each other, and love the people of this world like Jesus loved them, and share your love with them. Share his love with them. Paul was saying, okay, just stop talking already and do it. You've got it right. You get the idea. It's okay. It's not going to hurt you. You're going to be okay. Just step out now and do what you've been taught. Do what you know to do. Stop thinking about it and just do it. I mean, I love church. I love gathering together. I love preaching. And I'm not sure. Sometimes you smile. Sometimes you enjoy what I'm preaching. But a lot of times, we're going over the same thing over and over again because I know, even in myself, that sometimes I know what to do, but I don't do it. And Paul's saying, do it. Do it. Got it? Do it. We need to do it. I think Christian life would be so much easier if we just stopped gabbing about it and we just did it. Colossians 2 verse 8 to 10 says, watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off into endless arguments and that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in him so you can see and hear him clearly. You don't need a telescope, a microscope, or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without him. When you come to him, the fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. And there's so many times that we just get so wrapped up in all these big ideas and these big thoughts. And God, as Paul is saying, just keep it simple. Paul's warning the early church, if this sounds like some kind of new revelation that you've never heard before and you're really not sure that it's what God really said in his word, and you kind of got to, you know, think about it 300 times and read half verses and connect, you know, like all these little things together like there was, you know, it really doesn't fit, then it probably is just a weird idea that just doesn't really fit. It could be fine to think about, but don't spend your whole life thinking about it. God has laid everything out for us in Christ, and we don't need to try and twist Scripture to make it fit what we're hearing. Can you put up that picture, Levi? Do you remember these pictures? This is like one of those, they call it magic eyes. You stare at it, you kind of got to like look like that. One eye here, one eye there. And you got to stare just past it and your eyes got to water a little bit. And if there's just a little bit of plastic in front, it really helps. But if you stare at that thing and you do it right, there's a big heart that jumps out in the middle of it. Can you guys all see it? Can you see it? Oh. So some people can see it, some people can't, right? Well, this is what sometimes our relationship with God, people want it to be like that, that some people can get it. Okay, everybody, stop looking at the picture. It's over. If you want to look at it, we'll put it up later. You can stare at it again. If you stare at them, if you look just past them, if you make your eyes crossed and water just a bit, the image will jump off the page for you. And so many times we treat Christianity and God's word that way, that if we just stare at it long enough, if we just let our eyes glaze over a bit, if we just look past it just a little bit, then everything will start popping off the page. God never meant it to be that way. God meant for all people to be saved. So he meant for all of us to be able to understand this, to live this, to know it. He didn't make it like magic eyes where only a few people could get it. Only a few people could look at it and see it. But he made it so that all of us could see it and know it and understand it. Again, he made it clear for all of us to see and for all of us to follow. Just come to him. Again, in Matthew 11:28, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion, keeping rules, jumping through hoops? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Remember, the qualifier is, are you tired of doing life your way? That's how you came to Jesus. That's how you should stay with him. Be tired of doing it your way and just live it his way. Live it his way. Colossians 2 verse 11 and 12 say, entering into this fullness is something you figure out, is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in, insiders, not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection. God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. It's important for us to see what Paul is saying here. He's saying that it's expected as a follow-up to salvation that we should be baptized. Again, it doesn't mean that you're not saved if you haven't been baptized, but if you've been saved, then the next command of God is to be baptized. So if you've given your heart to Jesus, if you've said yes to him, and you haven't been baptized yet, you need to come talk to me, and we'll set a time and a place for that, and we'll get it done. We'll get her done. Because it needs to be done. You need to follow God in that. In Acts 2:38, Peter speaking, said to them, each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a command of Scripture. Then going on in verse 13 of Colossians 2. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. So don't put up with anyone pressuring you in details of diet, worship services, or holy days. All those things are mere shadows cast before what was to come. The substance is Christ. It's all about humbling yourself and saying, you know what? I can't do this on my own. It's all about saying, Jesus, I need you. It's all about stop striving to get it done by yourself, and instead just getting to know Jesus and love him. God promised us the life that God planned for us, the way that we should live, the way that will be really fulfilling, a life that is truly free indeed, only comes by knowing Jesus, by living in him. It's all about giving all you are to Jesus and relying totally on him for all that you are. and all that you're going to be. It's about just being man or woman enough to say, I can't do it. I need you. This is what Christianity is about. It's about being humble. It's about saying, God, you're the one. I'm not the one. I'm not worthy. You're worthy. I need you because you are the one I need. You are not able to save yourself in the beginning, so why do you think you could save yourself now? It is Jesus that does the work. We just have to humble ourselves and accept the gift that he's given to us. If we think many times, you know, about the struggles in relationship that Christians have with each other, it's oftentimes just about comparing. It's about saying, like, you know what? I do it a little bit better than that person. Or, here's a classic. I thought that person was a Christian. If they were, they wouldn't act that way. And that's possibly true. It's possibly true. If you're a Christian, there should be some fruit of being a Christian in your life. But it's not about how you act. It's about whose you are. I think when we understand whose we are and we get close to Jesus, then the actions change. The things we do change because of a thing that comes out of our heart. Remember a few weeks ago I mentioned that it's sort of like a tree branch walking around trying to find apples to tape to itself so they could go to the apple tree and say, I want to be a part of your apple tree. It would never fit in. It doesn't belong. It's not what it is. But Jesus wants us to abide in him. The Bible says that he's the vine. We're in the branches. If we abide in him, we'll bear fruit. We just need to stay in him, and then the life that's in him will flow out of us and bring forth good things and good works and all that. But it'll come from a life spent with him. Jesus took away all the legal briefs, all the tickets, all the charges that were against us, it says in this verse. And he paid for them in full. I think these four or five verses here are so important for us to understand as Christians. Jesus took them away. I have a friend who was a bylaw officer in Dunville. And we used to hang out when I ran the Potter's House. He used to come in and sit and talk to me probably longer than he should have. Maybe I should have given him a ticket. But anyway, I used to park behind like the Reader's Cafe, that area, like along Queen Street or Main Street, in behind the old stores there. And I used to park there every day when I worked in the store. So I'd park there 7 or 8 hours because I thought the sign said 12-hour parking. Apparently, I made the one up. It was 2-hour parking. So one day after parking there for months, I came out and there was a parking ticket on my windshield. So I thought, well, I'm going to go tell him because it's 12-hour parking. I was only here for 5. But then I realized it said 2. So I went and I walked over to town hall to pay my ticket. When I got there, my friend was there and he says, hey, Ralph, what are you doing here? I said, well, apparently I've been parking in this lot for a long time and I deserved a ticket because I thought it was 12 hours and it was only 2 hours. So you wrote up a ticket for me and I'm here to pay it. And he says, here, give me that. So I gave it to him. And he took it and he tore it up. He said, it's taken care of. And I'm like, well, but I did the crime. I deserved to pay for that. I came to pay. I should pay. He said, don't worry about it. I didn't know it was you. And that though, is what Jesus did for us. We did the crime. We deserved to pay the price. We deserved it. We earned it. And Jesus took the ticket, and the Bible said he nailed it to the cross. He did. He nailed it there. I'm going to try and put this thing back on, okay? So I need my hands free for a sec. So he nailed it to the cross. My life.
to this voice in my head. Now I'm talking back to the voice in my head. Okay. I'm going to go see my doctor myself. But I said, you know what? I gave my kids to the Lord. They're His. If you're going to take them, you need to take it up with Him. And the fear left. Because Jesus wiped out the ordinances that were written against us, the traffic fines and the violations that were written against us. He took them away. He wrote them over and hung them on the cross. So whatever you're struggling with today, God wants you to be free. Stop striving to try and do all the right things and say all the right things and be in all the right places and know all the right things to say and to obey all these certain rules. If you're struggling in your relationship with God today, it's not time to go try and obey more rules. It's time to connect with Him. It's time to surrender to Him. It's time to say, you know what? I've neglected our relationship and I need to be close. Because as you get close to Him and fall in love with Him, everything good will flow out of that. Because I love Christine, because I love my sons, every good gift and every perfect gift that I could have and give to them, I'll give to them. Not because I feel obligated, not because I feel like it's my duty as her father, but because of a heart of love that flows from me toward them, it happens. And that's the same thing that's going to happen in your relationship with Jesus. Just connect to Him, be with Him. Colossians 2, verse 18 to 23. Do not tolerate people who try to run your life, ordering you to bow down and scrape, insisting that you join their obsession with angels and that you seek out visions. They're a lot of hot air. That's all they are. I don't know, have you ever had that? Like a lot of people say to me, I hear this way too many times. The Lord told me this. They come to me as a pastor and say, well, this is what the Lord told me. And I'm sitting there looking back at them and saying, well, if the Lord told you that, what am I going to say? I'm just Ralph. I'm just like Pastor Ralph, if that's what you want to call me. If the Lord told you that, then I guess the Lord told you that. You got to do what God told you to do. I can't tell you what God told you. But like so many times, people see all these visions and have all these dreams and they got it all together. And me, I just got to read my Bible and find verses like Proverbs 21:21 that says, if I'll be honorable and try and live right, that God will do things great in my life. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm just like, God, what's wrong with my relationship with you? And why am I like this? And why aren't I this spiritual guy who gets visions and thus saith the Lord and all this stuff? I don't know. Like, but this is what this verse is talking about. It's not all like that for everybody. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together. And I want to just clarify what I just said. This is not about... this actually is real. Some people have visions. Some people have dreams. Some people actually speak the word of the Lord out. It's people that are trying to force you to do it too, or trying to say that you're not good enough because you don't. That's the kind of people that this verse is talking about. They're completely out of touch with the source of life, Christ, who puts us together in one piece, whose very breath and blood flow through us. He is the head and we are the body. We can grow up healthy in God only as He nourishes us. So then if with Christ you put all this pretentious and infantile religion behind you, why do you let yourself be bullied into it, bullied by it? Don't touch this. Don't taste that. Don't go near this. Do you think that these things that are here today and gone tomorrow are worth that kind of attention? Such things sound impressive if they're said in a deep voice. They even give the illusion of being pious and humble and ascetic. But they're just another way of showing off and making yourself look important. It really is simple, people. Just live for God. Just love Him. Connect with Him. Love others. Serve others. Trust God. Stop trying to make yourself look like something to somebody. Stop trying to answer for all those things that are in your past and just say, God, I need you. I need you. Jesus, today we come to you and we say, we need you. More than anything else in our life, Jesus, we need you. We've all tried different things. We've all tried to do it our own way. Some of us have tried it through good works. Others of us have tried it through just living a crazy life. Some by drugs, some by alcohol, some by living in crazy relationships that are going nowhere. Lord, whatever way we've tried to do it, Lord, today we repent. And we say we just want to live for you. We just want to be honest and open and straightforward. Come into our hearts and change our lives, we pray. Because more than anything, Jesus, we need you. Amen. We're going to pray. We're going to sing a worship song. Just take a few minutes as we sing this song. Just allow God to speak to your heart. If anything that you've heard this morning is touching you, just take a few minutes to do business with God and talk to Him about it. After we're done with the service, we're going to be having our picnic, so hang around. If you need prayer for anything today, we're going to all be out there. I'll be out there, and a whole bunch of other people that know how to pray are going to be out there. Just grab someone by the arm, and we'll pray with you and believe God with you. All right, just for a direction, Monica's mother-in-law passed away this week. The funeral home will be tonight at Wallace. Sorry. Sounds exactly the same, right? Wallace Funeral Home down on Barton Street in Cannon. From 2 to 4 this afternoon, 7 to 9. And the funeral is tomorrow at 11 at St. Stanislaus on Barton. So just, if you can, take some time to be with the family. If you can't be there, pray, hold them up in prayer. Pray for Ziggy. This is the second parent he's lost in the last few years. So just pray that God will touch him in this time and that God will really reveal his love. Zig needs to know Jesus more better than he does now. I don't speak very well, but my heart's right. So let's worship God, and then let's just enjoy some time together, okay?